section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
All right, folks, welcome to episode 190 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and in IBWIP Studios, we have Carrie Nation in the speakeasy. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having me.
We'll go around. We have Zach, Tyler, Jared, Garrett, and Mark.
Yep.
All right, so welcome to the show, and welcome back. This, Carrie Nation was, the first band to play in IBWIP Studios live. And we'll put a link to that as well.
That.
I think it was you guys are Philly still, so we'll say you.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So you guys are on tour right now, and one of the questions I had was your last release, which was Hatchetations. It came out in August 2013. Do you guys have plans for a new album coming up?
Yeah, we're done.
Nope.
No?
We're done.
Retiring?
Yeah.
You heard it first.
We're going to keep touring.
Riding this one out.
Right.
We're going to keep touring super hard, but we're going to just keep playing the same set probably for, I don't know, at least six more years.
Six more years?
Something like that.
It's got legs left on it.
Yeah. It is a good album, but
still working out the kinks anyway, so.
So, what are your spring and summer plans for the band? I don't know if you guys want to take turns.
Well, this summer we're going to Europe for the first time.
Really?
Which is going to be awesome.
Mighty Roots Europe?
Yep. Mighty Roots Europe, playing that festival, and then we're going to tour around for 43 days around Germany, Netherlands, and Belgium. We've got a date in France so far, and that's about everything that's coming together. There's more coming, but we're piecing it together now.
There's a lot of bands that are going over, like, thanks to, like, Muddy Roots Europe and stuff. There's a lot of bands that are go over and play in Europe. I know, like, Bob Wayne plays over there a lot as well. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, a completely different market. It's completely different. You know, you guys have the contacts you have, you know, in the United States. How difficult is it booking a tour overseas that you've never been? Compared to your booking now.
I was watching Men in Black. I don't know. We've had some people help us over there. Some of the same cats that are helping a lot of the bands. Kurt and Nico and Till are helping us book a lot of the stuff. And I mean, I do booking for several bands.
Sure.
Around the States, but yeah, that would be without help. That would be a big pain in the ass.
Now, logistic wise, how are you going to go about getting stuff over there, or has that even been discussed? I know, like, a lot of bands. You know, rent instruments over there. Some people take their stuff with them. If you guys...
We're going to bring some stuff, see what we can get filled in on the back line. We're going to bring some of the, you know, like mandolin and trombone stuff.
I built another travel bass that I'm planning on using.
Okay.
Mark's cool.
Tell us about the travel bass.
5 or 6 years ago, I went with Cletus Got Shot. We did a couple weeks in Europe, and I built a suitcase bass that the suitcase body is the bass and it all folds up inside it, and it worked. Played like 22 shows.
Oh wow! Okay.
On that, and then I built a much nicer one for this trip. That planning on using that.
Awesome.
And the merch is coming over on a Viking longship.
How long?
You mean? Yeah. Are you shipping it now?
No, it's gone. It left already.
Yeah,
rowing it over there.
It's got the new album on it now.
They've only lost two crew members yet. So.
So
then Bjarg.
So you're in the van now, and I'm always interested in the.
It's a bus,
yeah.
But no
bus van. The bus van.
Hey, there, buddy.
So who spends most time behind the wheel?
Grub.
I probably
he can drive. He's a driver. Be
Tyler Grub.
He's an
also known as Cole.
He likes backing
Cole Trickle.
Yeah. I like backing it.
Really
I enjoy driving. And, like, it's therapeutic. See the miles go down.
He can barely park it. I won't.
I like the high stress.
Trying it.
The high stress situations I like Chicago, going into the city. I enjoy that more than dread it.
So
like
the fuck
I like it. I get stressed out about it, but I still enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I definitely don't hit parked cars. So I mean,
yeah, Jared has never hit two parked cars in
six minutes. In one block.
So on this,
in an unnamed city.
Who's the one band member that is usually everybody's waiting on? Whether to get back in the van after stopping or after a gig, who's the one that everybody's watching their clock, watching their watch going, Jesus, taking a long time?
honestly,
Brody.
It used to be Brody.
It used to be Brody.
Segway. Thank you, Garrett. That was perfect. So,
yeah, I don't know. Zach has more shit to carry and more shit to set up, so we're all usually done.
Just waiting on the drummer.
Stuff.
It was, you know, Garrett brought up, for a lot of people that know Carrie Nation Speakeasy, they noticed that Brody is not with the band right now. Can you guys talk about that situation, or whoever wants to take that?
Well, he's busy in Wichita doing a bunch of stuff, playing with a bunch of different projects and acts and doing sound and stuff, and he made the decision quite a while ago, into last year, to pursue other things. We just kind of kept it under wraps while we, you know, finished out the end of the year, and he was boss about it, gave us a good 6 or 8 months notice and everything, and, you know.
So he ended on good terms for him.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
He started missing out on things that he just didn't want to miss out on anymore. Sure. You know, and that's what traveling in a band and on the road, you don't get to hang out with friends. You don't get to, you know, have those home relationships that he really wanted. And
he really loves his little Kansas community and the festivals and stuff he goes to.
Sure, exactly.
I'm sure he got tired of missing things like spring break and...
Because you guys, how long have you guys been together as a band?
About 8 years.
So it's kind of understandable that, you know, after a while.
Most of 7.
Yeah, because he's been in the band most of those years. He's been in he was in the band for six years or so.
9, early at 10.
So how did you two come to be in the band?
I replaced their old banjo player, Matt Dreher, that was from Kansas, and we go to the same bluegrass festival, and the guys asked me if I wanted to sit in, and then just kind of snuck around, kept coming to the shows, and they didn't tell me to leave. And
right. So
learned the songs on stage, and awesome. 3 years later.
And how about you, Mark?
Jared called me and gave me a heads up and said that Brody was leaving, and they were going to have to find somebody just to see if I was interested, and it was several months before it actually happened, I had plenty of time. And I've been staying home. My bandmates from Cletus Got Shot are both married with kids. That's why that band doesn't exist anymore. But I'm single and really got nothing else going on.
You hear that, ladies?
The real story? Sure.
So it was pretty much like, do you want to get in the van and do it again? And I was like, well, I'm still in a position I can do that.
Sure.
And I wasn't really done when Cletus was done.
Sure.
I kind of missed it.
Sure.
Yeah. Mark wrecked our old van and owed us quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
And we rolled dice for it, and, you know. If I win, he can play off his debt. Or if he wins, he can play off his debt. If I win, he had to pay off his debt. And so now he's working it off.
Indentured
show by show.
Sir. Yeah. The whole time he's over on the screen going, help.
Yeah.
Someone help.
We disabled his personal Facebook account and everything, so he's not able to, you know,
communicate with anyone.
Yeah, he's on lockdown. So.
So, okay. So, Sturgill Simpson. I'm assuming everyone knows who he is.
Nope.
Okay. So, you know, he had an amazing year of going from playing a bar to 3 people to getting signed to a label, and I guess I just wanted to see your guys' opinion because, you know, why isn't there more roots and independent bands such as yourselves was it just dumb luck, or, you know, how do you think, because I've been doing this for 8 years, I know a lot of you guys, and a lot of you guys bust your ass for a long, long time, and it just seems like this was, you know, he did perform for quite a while, but it just seemed like everything happened that was supposed to happen for him. What do you, when you guys hear about that, about someone like that, what do you guys think of that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your goals are, really. I mean,
and what label he signed to. It could be just some guy that gave him $2,000.
Sure, sure.
Like, but, yeah, I mean, like,
label.
Right.
Like, it's where your goals are. And, like, if that's what you're trying to do is get, you know, on bigger labels to do that kind of stuff, you know, that's rad. But, like, we're trying to build grassroots fan bases, basically, and play places where we know the people and, you know, basically pay our bills with it and stuff. We're not I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's luck, because, you know, he worked his ass off for it, you know. Like,
I was just curious to, you know, since it all kind of went boom, I was just curious to see, you know, another band's reaction, you know, to a situation like that. So, what do you guys have scheduled for festivals this year?
We're doing
Wakarusa.
Yeah, Wakarusa in Arkansas.
And also same site in the fall as it's now Phases of the Moon.
Yeah, Phases of the Moon.
Used to be Harvest Fest, but that's the same site.
Muddy Roots Europe, Muddy Roots Tennessee.
What's the one in Salina, that Weekender thing?
Yeah, we're doing the Salina, the Smoky Hill River Festival. We're doing the Wichita River Festival, which our buddy Adam Harkey books. It's a pretty cool lineup.
Getting some really good bands in the last couple of years.
Now, with a lot of these festivals, are there bookers coming to you guys and asking you to play, or is it one of those things like, you know, these are going to happen every year, you kind of throw your name into the hat and work around those? How does that go about?
It's probably a little bit of both, and like it's just kind of timing, you know. What I think Jared touched on goals that everybody sets for themselves, you know, playing a certain circuit or playing certain venues and getting in touch with certain people. It's all about timing and when you want to do it. This year is one of those years that we wanted to play a couple more festivals instead of reaching out like we did last year, going all to all the corners of the country and all the coasts and all that. This year is a little bit more just kind of focusing on that kind of circuit, circuit.
Playing a festival, that's maybe 2 weeks worth of touring. In a lot of instances, being able to reach that many people, you can get it all kind of in one shot. So
yeah.
It's kind of a win-win situation. You know, mm-hmm. you're not having to spend as much time to reach those people. So there's a lot of bands that are releasing vinyl records now. The vinyl records are back.
Oh yeah.
But I was wanting to know, like, you guys just released both of your albums on vinyl not too long ago. How did you guys come to that decision? And for a band, I know that it's a very expensive
expensive.
And so when did you guys kind of make that decision as a band to say, let's put these out?
I think we'd wanted to.
Yeah, that was goals. That was one of the goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd wanted to do vinyl since we'd started putting together the first album, but
it's all about saving the capital.
Yeah, it's a lot of money at once.
Had to get the CDs out first.
We just never did it. Like, we kind of get the capital together. Sure. We need that money to buy tires.
Right.
Or food.
Right.
We knew they would sell just because there's demand for it, obviously. Sure. You know, everyone's doing the vinyl, and vinyl is one of those things that you have people that seek those out. Like, as soon as we got our merch online, and the vinyls were a part of that initial push, that's what the traffic was.
Sure.
That's what people were going online and finding. If they were looking for something, it was vinyl.
Sure.
So it's one of those collector's items. And people could buy it and not even play the damn thing or have a record player.
They just want a frame on their wall.
They want the art. They want that. But it's a big goal. Like you said, it's expensive. So you got to put the work into it to raise that money to do it for the initial buy.
Right.
I mean, you'll drop... I mean...
You'll
drop a lot of money, a lot of months of traveling to earn all that stuff to knock it back.
And Josh Finley, that does our art, does badass art. It's just not the same one,
right? On a CD cover, definitely. That, you know, and that's why a lot of your gig posters that I know he's done over the years, and they're all, you know, they catch the eye of the passerby too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, I want to go through everybody, and I want you to describe Kanye West in one word. Mark, you start.
Who is that?
Good. Okay.
What? Kanye, I don't know.
Pompous.
Pompous. There you go. So, let's see. What other questions did I have? Oh, I had a question for the lead singer. Oh, in the meantime, no.
Sorry, he's on a beer run.
That's a beer run. You could have got the kid to do it. That would have been fine.
Get it.
We needed beer. Right. I always like to ask songwriters about songs, and I wanted to find one of the songs that you guys have written to tell me a little bit about where it came from. and it's off your first album. I Saw Your Daughter. Can you tell me where how that, because that's a, that song is very specific of like, it's not just a, I'm sitting in a van, you know, and I come up with an idea. It seems as though it's a very specific situation. Where did that song come about from?
Well, it wasn't like super specific, like one person, but I'd had friends and knew people that just like would, in passing conversation, basically explain how they're a shitty dad and not do anything about it. You know, like, you know, dudes who like want to party more or don't want to take care of shit and deal with the repercussions of their decisions, you know? So, I don't know. It's just something that has bugged me, the irresponsibility. So it's not about one specific person.
Well, the thing I like about that song is that kind of situation where you're kind of ignoring your kids is something that develops slowly. It's not something you just intentionally do, you know, or think like right when you have a kid, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm gonna be out. Absent father. Right. So I think it's kind of cool for people when they're younger to hear that song and have that kind of rattling around in their head before they might even ever have kids. Or if they do,
I think it's one of those things, it's appropriate to shame someone for that. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you're being selfish.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's okay. You shouldn't think it's okay.
And I always follow that song up, like, not always, but like, it's like, you know, take care of your kids, like, try to make somebody who's not going to break into my shit when they grow up.
Right.
Try to make a person that's not a douchebag.
Right. You know, for me as a listener, as a fan, you know, when I hear that song, you know, I have two children and who, you know, and I try very hard to be the complete opposite. And, you know, I get a lot of roadblocks, but I continue to try. So that song just kind of reminds me that, like, it's not easy. There's a other side of that coin too, that, you know, there's women that can make that very uneasy to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things I love to find out why people write songs and what inspires them to write songs. When you guys are putting together new music, do you do that while you're on tour, like while you're in the bus or bus, not van.
Yeah,
right. Well, it's not van. I mean, where does the creative side usually happen? Is it when you're off the road or when you're on the road?
We don't do much writing on the road, like lyrically writing at least. Like I write all the lyrics, so like I do that at my house, you know, by myself, writing a bunch of coffee and cigarettes and substances and stuff. So. But then basically I'll bring a sketchy idea and won't have the words finished and won't have like any parts or anything, just kind of a chord progression or an idea and a content idea of the song, and usually work some shit out with Grub first about, you know,
arrangement
and, you know, maybe ideas for themes for the song and stuff. But, and then it gets, I think, brought up to the whole band maybe two times, and then we start playing it live, and then that's how it gets practiced for.
Right, because that was my next question: is how long do you guys work on it? But you, like I said, you work on it a couple times and then just play it live. That's kind of the only.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how it's always been with our band. The songs get written and they get worked out, but then once they get onto the stage and we play it and play it and play it and play it and play it, they almost get a second kind of win and a second life, and they develop into something a little differently. Yeah. And it's not completely opposite. We're not writing a new song up there, but dynamics start to settle in and little parts start to work themselves out. Just
do something out of nowhere one night and then it ends up every night.
That's what we do, from now on.
Sure.
Just because, you know, even the intro of like Mama's Little Baby live, when Rev started playing with us, he was just like, it'd be cool if we did this. And now there's this whole intro to that song that never existed before him, never was sat down and actually written. It was just, let's try this out and see what it works.
So a lot of times, you know, you might have a song that you start out with, and 2 years down the road, it might almost be completely different or have a
different beast.
It'll definitely be longer.
So with you guys being the newer members of the band, and I know you've known the guys a long time, how has it been? I mean, when you get in the van with these guys, I mean, these three have been around each other every day, all day. Is it difficult to kind of merge into the flow of things, or since you've been in traveling bands, is it kind of just it's all the same kind of blueprint.
I think, I mean, it was definitely helped doing it before for so long, but there's still the, like, just learning people's personalities and, you know, how to make it through day after day after day and still keep it fun and, you know, not take it too serious. And so
It's easier than I thought it was going to be, because I know people have, like, interpersonal disagreements and, like, get butthurt about things occasionally, but you have to consciously try not to and then let it go. Like, you're going to get into it, talk it out, and let it go. And, like, I've known these guys for years, but I barely knew Garrett when I got on the bus. And it turns out, like, we get along great. And I was like, well, it could have gone the other way.
You could just,
I had no idea.
Well, I know, and I was, I'm always amazed that you can get a group of guys together in a bus and be on the road for 2 weeks, 3 months. Whereas, even with being brothers, I couldn't, like, my own brother, I'm like, I could not spend that much time, you know, with my own brother. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, when you're, like I said, you're bringing yourself into a rotation that already has a rotation. It's not four or five guys that have never been a band saying, okay, we're going to start this, and then, you know, just digging it out as you go along. So what, 2015 is here. You're going overseas. You're playing festivals. When December rolls around, 2015, how do you guys measure, has it been a good, you know, it, obviously dollars, record sales, how much merch you sell, but how do you, in your minds, just what makes you say this has been a good year, or this was a successful year?
Yo, money over everything.
Money's and bitches.
Yo, mom. Money over everything.
It'd be the name of the episode.
I think it's reaching the goals that you want, that you set for yourself, and like one of the goals, I think, the Europe, going to Europe is a big one. So that's like for this year, that's one of those steps moving forward from what we've ever done in the years prior. And so as soon as, like, December rolls around the year prior, and what makes me say, yeah, I'm going to do this another year, is just knowing that it is moving forward in some kind of direction.
And for me, that's fans. Like, if there's new people that we've picked up in each city, you know, if we went through the whole entire year and only the same people that have been coming out to see us came and saw us, I wouldn't be completely disappointed. But, like, the forward motion for me comes from more people, their friends showing up.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Check out Carrie Nation and the Speakeasy when they're in town, or even when they're not in town. Drive that hour and a half to go see them. It's definitely worth it. Guys, welcome to IBWIP Studios.
Thanks for having us.
So, all right. Thank you very much. And thank you to our video handler,
Garrett.
Yes.
And
scene
cut. And cut.
Oh, I didn't push record. No.
you made a choice that claimed the responsibility. Yes, you did, yeah. No, I do. Living at your plan to leave. There's a little girl out there, desperate need for the father. Yes, it's true. So wake up and grow up, my friend. You got a daughter now. She's all alone.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.